This is The Drive with Josh Graham Podcast. Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on Sports Hub Triad.
What's colder? The snow currently dumping on the Triad right now, or Duke shooting at PNC Arena last night? NC State, they played with more urgency in the game, that's for certain. They deserve a lot of credit for the way they played. But I've seen enough of the Blue Devils this year to have serious concerns about their NCAA tournament chances. And let me preface this on the front end. I don't arrive at this conclusion after just one game. It's something I've been charting and following for months, and this is what I think. Historically speaking, Duke teams like this one don't win in March, and I don't see this team making it to a Final Four. There are three main reasons for this. Number one, three-point shooting. The stats really don't lie here. Duke on the season shoots 35%. That has them at 84th in the country from three-point range. If Duke were to win the national championship this year, hypothetically, and they continued to shoot the three the way they have since the first week of November, since the start of the year, they will be the worst three-point shooting team to win a national title for the Blue Devils. Duke's won five. They would be the worst three-point shooting team of the bunch. In an age, analytics are pushing everything to the three-point line. Go to the 2015 team, 30th in the country from three. 2010, 27th. The 2001 team, you had Shane Battier out there draining triples, 27th in the country. The 92 team, they shot 93%, or not 93, excuse me, 43% from three. How crazy would that stat be, Robert, if they shot 93% from the field?
That would be a lot.
No wonder they won the national title for the second consecutive year then. Just even looking at the top teams in the ACC, Louisville, 11th from three. Florida State is in the top 50. Like, who is the most reliable shooter on this Duke team? Statistically, it's Matthew Hurt, and he's a big man. Is it Trey Jones? Because he was one of the few Blue Devils to play well last night. Alex O'Connell, who was dead silent after being good for three straight games. It can't be Joey Baker. So who really is that reliable three-point option? Can you win that way when you do not have the athleticism you did a year ago? One thing last year's team had that this year's team doesn't is maturity. Oh, but Josh, Jack White, Trey Jones, Javon Delorier, Alex O'Connell, all of these guys are back. What do you mean they're not as mature? It's not just a freshman knock. Kentucky and Duke, when they won the national titles in 15 and 12, those were mature teams. The way Jahlil Okafor handled himself, Tyus Jones handled himself, Quinn Cook was a senior and the second leading scorer on that team, as we've explored time and time again. Last year's team was filled with pros, guys who were ready to jump into the league, who probably didn't need college basketball. Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett. They knew what they wanted. They handled themselves well. They were great in the media. They didn't have letdowns against teams they were supposed to beat. While juxtaposing that with this year's team, they lose to Stephen F. Austin, snapping a streak that was nearly 20 years long of Blue Devil teams beating non-conference opponents at home. 150 straight games Duke won non-conference games at home until that Stephen F. Austin loss. Last night was their third loss this year against an unranked team. They struggled with Winthrop at home. Boston College, they're on the road. Coach K saying that the only adversity his team faces is with me. I've been telling them for weeks how good Boston College is, and they weren't listening to me. Coach K, he emphasized that at other points, saying that his team just wasn't listening. North Carolina, they should have lost that game, and that's not a good Tar Heel team. Then they lose to NC State last night by 22 points. This is according to Brian Ives, ACC Network, ESPN Stats and Info. The 22-point loss last night for Duke is Coach K's worst loss against an unranked opponent. Ever. There's not anything else left in that sentence. The last time Coach K lost by 20 or 21 points to an unranked team, you have to go 30 years ago. Lost to North Carolina by 20. Then you have to go to the 21-point game 30 years ago, or make it 40 years ago, Tennessee in 1980. So we haven't seen anything like this for a long time, and I think it has a lot to do with maturity. When coaches, they speak in press conferences, I do believe they're doing coaching up there. Part of the coaching job is speaking in those pressers, because players, they hear what you say publicly about them. So this really stood out to me last night, sitting in that press room, listening to what Coach K had to say. He used a really strange, I don't think it's an analogy at all, but just a really strange way to communicate why this game isn't something that you could just show up and expect to win in.
Yeah, this isn't an Xbox game. This is a human being game. That Xbox thing, it doesn't have human nature in it and all that. That's why a lot of people play it. This game is about human nature and human beings. And sometimes when you eat too much, you're not as hungry. When you need something, you're really hungry. And when those two meet, a lot of times the team that needs it the most kicks the other team's butt. And that's what happened tonight. I'll play Xbox later.
Oh, I wonder what Coach K's gamer tag is. Sawyer Dillon's ears perked up the moment he heard Coach K talking about Xbox. Sawyer, he streams on Twitch, and he's very good at a number of games. We're lining up a game for Sawyer to play one-on-one with Joel Berry in a few weeks from the Greensboro Swarm. I'm not an expert on video games, but I feel like I'm an expert on food, and I disagree with Coach K's assertion that when you eat a lot, you're no longer hungry. Does this check out, Robert? Just because you eat a lot doesn't mean you're not hungry anymore. You should see me when I'm pounding some Lexington barbecue down the way.
It might be true with like Chinese food. I could eat a lot of Chinese food and then be super hungry like 30 minutes later.
Sawyer, how do you think Coach K would be at 2K? Do you think he's ever played an Xbox?
I want to say he's played it maybe once or twice, but he would be the guy that's going to run like set plays every time down the floor. He's going to use the whole minute timeouts. He's going to do everything and make the game last way longer than it should.
Yeah, but he is specifically designating that message to his players. What does that tell you? He's bringing out Xbox, trying to relate to the guys. This isn't a very mature team. So three-point shooting, it's not there. Historically speaking, teams that shoot this bad from three aren't going to win you a title, aren't going to get to the Final Four. Maturity, it's not there either. That's why they're losing games in historical fashion, by 22 to NC State, who's unranked, losing to Stephen F. Austin, losing at Clemson, struggling with Winthrop, struggling with BC and North Carolina. But lastly, we hinted at this yesterday, and it's why I thought NC State was going to hang in this basketball game. Duke has really had problems defending at the guard spot. Their defense at the guard spot has become a real issue. Markel Johnson, Devin Daniels, they combined for 53 points. Those two, Markel was terrible at BC. He had a great bounce back effort. Don't want to take anything away from him. But when Duke has struggled, it's guards who have gone off, guys who have been able to get to the 10. Trey Jones gets all this credit for being a great perimeter defender, great at contesting, makes things difficult shooting, but sometimes he gets beat off the dribble. It happened with Tevin Mack when Clemson won. A Stephen F. Austin guard went for 26. Cole Anthony had a really good day for North Carolina. And David Johnson had a field day in Cameron Indoor Stadium for Louisville. Last night, it was Markel and Devin Daniels who got everything they could ever want at the rim. And I don't think that's an issue that's going to get fixed quickly. We're at a point in the year. It's February 20th. We're less than 3 weeks till the start of the ACC tournament in Greensboro. In fact, Duke's going to be one of the top four seeds. So 3 weeks from today, Duke's going to be playing in the ACC tournament. The Blue Devils, they set their goals for the NCAA tournament. All across that field in today's basketball, dynamic guards all over the place. So this defense at the guard spot issue that has arisen the last 2 months or so and hasn't really been solved, that doesn't get better in March. Usually when upsets happen, and we're expecting a ton of them, especially this year in college basketball, it's because a team allows a guard to get hot from three, because dynamic ball-handling guards tend to be issues for teams. Duke, this year specifically, has really had issues with that, even more so than past years where they were susceptible to upset. So three-point shooting, maturity, defense at the guard spot, those are reasons statistically and historically a team like this Duke team isn't going to win in March. I don't see them going to the Final Four. It's not an overreaction to just last night. It's something that I've been looking at over the last few months. I've been to a lot of Blue Devil games. We'll talk to Brendan Marks, who was at last night's game, covers the Blue Devils and North Carolina for The Athletic. That's coming up in 15 minutes. But up next, a Cam Newton IG post that's worth dissecting, definitely. And an ominous new statement that was just put out by David Tepper. This is The Drive.
He may not be beautiful, and we do sit around all day and talk sports. And yes, Britt McHenry, we feel great about
it. Do you feel good about your job?
This is The Drive with Josh Graham.
The question I've been thinking about a lot today is this one. Who was last night's game more about, NC State or Duke? I was there. I heard what Coach K had to say, essentially saying, we just didn't show up. Credit to the Wolfpack. They played with more urgency, and it was evident that the Wolfpack last night had the urgency, but this marks four or five games this year that the Blue Devils have played without it. And that's a pretty concerning thing looking ahead over the next 3 weeks. 3 weeks from today, Duke's going to be opening up play in the ACC tournament in Greensboro. This is not a problem that you want a team to have, especially as a top 10 ranked team on February the 20th. Brendan Marks now joining us from The Athletic Carolinas. Follow him on Twitter at Brendan R. Marks. His story today, NC State gets its statement win, but is that enough? We'll get to NC State's NCAA tournament odds in just a bit, but let me ask you the question I just presented a second ago. Who was last night more about in your mind, NC State or Duke?
Yeah, Josh, you know, I think it was clearly more about NC State, and I basically had that same conversation with my editors. We were deciding whether I should spend my time in the Duke locker room or the NC State locker room, and the reason we came to the decision that we did to go with NC State was because of this. Ultimately, at the end of the day, Duke is still going to be, in spite of yesterday, a number two seed at worst. And with the ACC tournament, as you mentioned, in 3 weeks, they're going to have the potential to play themselves onto the number one line. Regardless, they're still looking at pretty similar of a path to the NCAA finals, to the Final Four. They're still going to probably be going to the East in New York. You know, nothing has really changed in that capacity. So it's one loss. It's a bad loss, yes, and now questions come up. But ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, when Duke goes out and doesn't have these issues fester, then it's not so big of a concern. Whereas NC State needed yesterday. And if NC State doesn't have yesterday, then all of a sudden their bleak tournament odds suddenly looking basically impossible. But win last night, and they showed how badly they wanted it. I mean, the Wolfpack just had way more want to steal from Roy Williams. Now there's a chance that NC State has a legitimate NCAA tournament argument, I think. And obviously ACC bias is going to help them. But yeah, so I just think in the grand scheme of things, it probably moved the needle more for the Wolfpack than it did for the Blue Devils.
But let's keep it with Duke for a second. Historically speaking, Brendan, this is not just a reaction to last night's game. This is really a season-long deal. Duke, a team like this doesn't generally win in March. They're 84th in the country in three-point shooting. All of their championship teams they've had have at least been in the top 30 in that category. So I wonder what the biggest concern you have for the Blue Devils is. Is it the three-point shooting where we still don't know today who their most reliable shooter is? Is it maturity where they might not show up for a game like last night and they get beat by 22, the most points that Coach K has been beaten by an unranked team in his Duke career? Is it? I mean, they also lost to Stephen F. Austin at home to snap that 150-game home non-conference winning streak that they had in November. And then, of course, the defense at the guard spot has been an issue, too. When Duke gets beat, it's guys like Markel Johnson and Devin Daniels combining for 50-plus points in a game. What is your biggest concern?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing, and we saw some of it last night, you know, you can talk about the three-point shooting, and that is a concern. And, you know, a guy like Cassius Stanley has sort of lost his three-point shot. It's imperative that that comes back, or else Duke's championship odds are really going to take a hit. But to me, it's the not wanting to win. It's the not showing up. It's completely rolling over like Duke did last night because, you know, as much of a leader as Trey Jones is, Duke and Coach K made the conscious decision this year that they were going to live and die with Trey Jones. And I think that Trey Jones is probably one of the upper echelon point guards in the country this year, but that doesn't mean he's perfect. He's still prone to stretches like yesterday in the first half. I believe he went 1-for-7. He was forcing things. He was rushed. He was turning the ball over. You know, the Stephen F. Austin loss you brought up during that game, he had 8 turnovers, a career high. So he is an incredibly, incredibly talented point guard. I still think he's probably going to be a first-round pick come NBA draft time. But there are times when Duke can't just have him. They can't just have him wanting to win. And so I think the fact that there are still these games where they come out flat and they get in these 10-0, 10-2, 12-2, 14-3 holes, that's a huge concern for me. And I'm not suggesting that someone like Cassius Stanley or Vernon Carey or Matt Hurt or Wendell Moore, those guys want to win. Jack White wants to win. But they're not able to consistently turn it into physical effort. They can't always manifest it.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest concern for them.
Brendan Marks with us on Twitter at Brendan R. Marks. Again, your story was about NC State's tournament chances now. So they beat a top 10 ranked team. They beat Duke. They have Florida State coming in on Saturday and have one more game against the Blue Devils as well in Durham before the regular season is up. Do you see – I was in touch with Joe Lunardi earlier today, ESPN's bracketologist. He's going to be with us next week. He has NC State as the last team in his field right now in bracketology. Do you see NC State as an NCAA tournament team – without another win against Florida State or Duke?
I think that it's possible so long as they don't cough up one of their other games. You know, they can't lose to North Carolina next week. They can't. They can't lose to Pitt. They can't lose to Wake Forest. In the ACC tournament, they probably need to win at least one game. You know, for them to beat Florida State or to beat Duke again, that would sort of be gravy on top of the argument. But I think that what they've shown, the overall body of work, especially getting a win like that when they got it, not getting it on a fluke back in November or so. In theory, that shows they're getting better. It shows that they're getting to be a fuller, more complete team now. So I think as long as they don't screw up and lose one of those games, as long as they make it to the tournament, the ACC tournament, and can win a game there, I think that even without another marquee win, NC State probably deserves to be in the tournament.
I'm right there with you, man. Robert Walsh just broke the news to me seconds ago that the snow that we see outside our studio is in fact sticking. So be safe, my friend. Brendan, it's good to hear from you.
You as well. Thank you. I'll talk.
That's Brendan Marks from the Athletic Carolinas. Do we have sound of Daniel Jeremiah on NFL Network talking about Joe Burrow? Apparently, there's much like there's smoke surrounding the Panthers regarding Cam Newton and David Tepper, some stuff going on there. There seems to be smoke where Joe Burrow is awkwardly holding a Bengals helmet with Boomer Esiason in. You got Joe Burrow not wanting to play in the Senior Bowl where he could work with Bengals coaches. He's saying the word process a lot when he's talking about the idea of being drafted by the Bengals. Carson Palmer is cryptically talking to the media in Miami during the Super Bowl week, saying that he wished he wasn't drafted by the Bengals or made his stance known about the Bengals sooner in his career. Carson Palmer's brother's working with Jordan Palmer. You got media members suggesting that he might pull an Eli. He might pull an Elway. Which, of course, with the Panthers picking 7
and Joe Brady being the offensive coordinator, there are dots being connected, you guys. This is Daniel Jeremiah from last night.
Well, I think there's three teams. We just saw the draft order there. Teams picking 5, 6, and 7. You look at Miami, you look at the Chargers, and you look at the Carolina Panthers. All teams in the quarterback market, all teams who, before all this story started to circulate and you saw the conversation with Joe Burrow the other day where he didn't flat out say, yes, I want to be a Cincinnati Bengal. Those teams keeping an eye on this situation because maybe there is an opportunity if this takes place behind closed doors and he doesn't want to go to Cincinnati. Maybe there is a trade-up opportunity for those three teams. And obviously, team number 7 with Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator, his former offensive coordinator at LSU, now with the Carolina Panthers, you better believe they're tracking this situation to see how this thing unfolds.
I bet they are tracking it, and I have no issue with you listening what kind of offers might be there. But my stance hasn't changed. Trading up in the draft for Burrow would be a mistake. The Panthers have too many needs. Linebacker with Kuechly retiring. Defensive line, we've already known about that for a while now. Offensive line, wide receiver beyond DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. Quarterback, that seems to be a pretty big issue, of course. Also, I like Tua more than I like Burrow. I got a larger sample with Tua. I like his personality a little bit more. 87 touchdowns, 11 picks. There's nothing fluky about that. Coaching staff, it turns over at Alabama over his 3 seasons there, and the sample is national championship level ball all the way through. You can't say that about Burrow. Tua's younger than Burrow. Granted, he's dealing with an injury, and I acknowledge there's some severity to that, but it seems everything's checked out with the hip. We learned that a few weeks ago. So I like Tua more than Burrow, and he would be easier to draft, easier to move up and grab, it seems. Also, it rarely ever pans out trading up for a quarterback who's going to be the top guy in the draft. You have to give up so much to get there. So I'm not talking about just trading up in general. There is past history of that working. Recent history. Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, they come to mind. You trade up, you grab those guys because they're dropping in the draft. Getting up to the top of the draft to take a quarterback, when has that worked? Jared Goff? The best example? Mitchell Trubisky, how's that going for the Chicago Bears? Granted, they only moved up one spot, but still, that didn't work out well. How about Jeff George? That work out well? I'd probably say no. The Panthers have too many needs to try and give away draft capital in order to bring in Burrow. But there are 2 scenarios I'd have less issue with it. 2 scenarios. Number 1, the Bengals draft Burrow, and then it becomes an Eli Elway situation. Remember, the Baltimore Colts drafted Elway, and then he told him, I'm not going to play for you. And Ernie, of course, he had to make the move to try and figure out what they were going to do. And it turned out to be a lot less than they would have gotten before the draft from the Denver Broncos. Eli Manning. It was after the Chargers drafted him that a deal was struck with Phillip Rivers and the Giants in order to make that happen. So if the value is driven down after the fact, after the pick's already made, and they're in a desperate strait to try and get something done because they have Burrow and he's saying he's not going to play for them, that's one thing. Completely different than where we're at right now. Secondly, I'd have less issue with it if Cam Newton was a part of the trade. Tell me who says no here, Robert. I'm going to throw this trade out here. The number 7 pick, 2 second rounders, so this year and next year's, and Cam Newton in exchange for the number 1 pick. Who says no?
I would say no to that. Why? You're going to have to send me 2 first rounders because Cam's going to play for my team for 1 year.
I think Cam Newton would sign with anybody who would give him a long-term deal today. You don't think? There's franchise tag options in there as well.
I want Cam for 1 year if you're sending him to me. To be a stopgap. I don't want to have to deal with him long term. That's a big headache. I'd want more picks than just 2 second rounders.
Right. Okay. So that's the other scenario. If Cam's a part of the trade, then maybe they could strike something up. Maybe it'll become a little bit more interesting there. BDOT tweets the show. Your car is totally in theme with the weather. You're the reason for the snow. Yeah, it's a Christmas wonderland outside. Yeah, you laugh at my car, like many people at PNC Arena were doing last night. Who's laughing now? Because my car looks like it's in season. Your car's just basic. I'm all in on the new NFL playoff proposal, and I'll tell you why everybody involved should be too. Next.
Josh Graham loves to talk sports. He also loves to take herbal body baths to keep his skin supple and youthful looking. You're on The Drive with Josh Graham. Yeah, yeah.
Some first-hand observations of NC State Duke last night from PNC Arena in a moment. I learned something about NC State fans I didn't know before, and I've lived in the state of North Carolina all but 2 years of my life. It's pretty clear. NC State, they care so much more about North Carolina than Duke. It was so obvious last night. Before we get to that, though, there's something that's completely distracting. It's not just my voice. I hope it doesn't sound terrible in the air, but it feels terrible. Lack of sleep does that, and you know, it was a late night at PNC Arena. You don't really care. I'm going to blame the snow like Robert's been blaming for him being distracted and him being semi-depressed. What was that called again?
Seasonal affective disorder.
You and Sawyer are just unbelievable. You two are just trying to get out of the studio. Sawyer's asked me 3 times to go home, just to let him go home so he could play in the snow, so he could get home safely, because it's snowing outside in the Triad. I said all show today, it was my goal, that we weren't going to talk about the bleeping snow. We just weren't going to do it. And here we are, Robert bugging me saying, how about we just go outside and have a snowball fight? I'm like, we have a radio show that we're trying to do right now, and I'm trying to stay focused on it.
We could take
like
a
we
break.
Duke Wake Forest tickets that we're going to be giving away in about 10 minutes. 10 minutes we're going to be giving away. Wake Forest, Duke tickets. Pretty big game. Duke coming to the Triad, and all you're thinking about is snow. So.
It looks like fun.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. If I let you play in the snow, will you shut up the rest of this show?
Yes!
All right, this is what we're going to do now. I don't know how you're going to create content out of this. Sprint out the doors here of Sports Hub Triad. Call in to Sawyer, who's going to run the board now.
Oh, cool.
Sawyer, are you able to do this?
Yeah, we'll make it work.
I'm sorry you don't get to play in the snow.
Yeah.
Robert, just sprint outside and create content while I talk about NC State and Duke from last night. I love that he didn't turn the microphones off. He just keeps everything on. He literally just sprinted out the door, and he left all the microphones on. Good for him.
Yeah, he did not take any precaution there before he sprinted out.
NC State cares so much more about North Carolina than Duke because there's no bad blood between the Wolfpack and Duke. There's no similarities, really, between those two, right? Like, you got private school versus public school, small versus big. You got lawyers versus engineers. You have North Carolina citizens, people that grew up in this state, versus out-of-staters who go and become very wealthy going to Duke at the private school. And I'm not even sure, you know, they care too much about football in Durham, but they're not even in the same football division, despite the fact they're so close in the triangle. There's not really much beef between Coach K and Kevin Keats as well. So I think that's where it starts. And in the building last night, it's so much different for Duke than it is North Carolina. When North Carolina's in town, it's a pressure cooker. It's packed, it's intense, and the pressure seeps through to the players. Duke has lost 5 of the last 7 games at PNC Arena. Because I don't think the pressure's on the players to win that game as much. I really don't. Like, there were a lot of Duke fans in the stands. And there were a lot of open seats at PNC. When North Carolina's in town, it doesn't matter what night of the week it is. Like, it was a Monday night game this year. It doesn't matter. State fans, they show up, and they show up in force. And that game really is significant to them. For Duke, 9 o'clock. Oh, it's a Wednesday. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. And it wasn't really a tremendous crowd. You had the court storm, which is my first court storm I was a part of. But yeah, it really wasn't a intense home court advantage for NC State. Robert, the producer of this show, has sprinted outside into the parking lot. He's playing in the snow. Robert, create content.
Hey, what's up, dude? It's so cold out here.
Did you not wear a jacket?
I'm wearing a jacket. It's still pretty cold. It's not really sticking to the ground, but it's piling up like perfectly on the cars, so you can make little snowballs. I made some. If you want to come out here and play, if not, I'll just throw them at your window.
How's my car look out there?
I wrote a message on the back of it for you. Merry Christmas. It's pretty covered. All the cars are covered, not so much the ground. But I've tried eating this snow, and I know what they say about eating the first snow of the year is not good. But didn't we have like a little snow last week or 2 weeks ago?
No, I don't think we did have much snow.
So I should not be eating the snow.
Are you eating the snow right now?
I am eating it. It's not that good, though. Also, I want to do a Christmas story, that thing where you can put your tongue to the pole and see if it sticks.
Did you just make Christmas story a verb?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not sticking. It didn't stick. All right, I'm headed back up.
All right, thank you, Robert. That's excellent content. See, if you turn it to other radio stations, they probably have weather reports, people breaking things down, telling you about cold fronts and what's coming. And you need that stuff in order to stay safe. What we have is Robert in a parking lot writing Merry Christmas on my rear view mirror or my rear view window because it has Christmas decorations all over it.
We do need to bring up that during the commercial break, he made a snowball on the patio and chucked it at his own car and just barely missed it.
Almost hit it.
It was a good throw.
Yeah, we're on the third level here and in our Kernersville studio. And Robert, he chucked it quite a bit. Like, it probably was about 35, 40 yards.
Ooh, it's cold out there, boy.
Reasonably. Please don't curse. The microphones are on. So Robert's now back in here. And there's a couple things I need to talk about. Speaking of my car and you writing messages on it, somebody last night when I'm walking out of PNC Arena, and this is the image I want to paint for you. My car was parked about 50 yards in front of PNC Arena, like right outside the front doors of PNC Arena was my Christmas decorated car. I was mortified. I didn't know where we were parking. Got deer antlers, got a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer nose on the front, got elf legs on the back, and light decals across the entire thing. Mortified. And when I'm pulling in order to get that close to the arena, you have to go by a bunch of traffic workers. All of them, Robert, all of them had big smiles on their faces, just pointing and laughing. Turns out my car was parked right in front of where the students got loaded onto a bus, like a shuttle to go back to campus. So when I'm walking back out to my car and getting into my car, I see a bunch of the students pointing and laughing as well. Just embarrassing. Someone actually left a message on my car.
What was it?
Someone said nice decorations.
See, I'm telling you, man, you're bringing joy.
Or specifically, they said, I like the lights. That's what they wrote.
Are the lights reflective? Because I didn't really know what they looked like. Have you seen your
They are reflective.
Car?
Nice.
Oh, that, yeah, it's even better.
Has anybody honked at you, like as you've been driving or anything?
First day, two people honked on the drive home. Just don't do that. It's scary. Like, I'm a person. Like, I get jarred easily. Like, if you see my car on I-40 on my drive home,
honk.
Do not honk at me.
Honk at that guy.
Like, it's kind of scary when that happens. This is what I'm telling you. On my drive home, on the drive with Josh Graham, do not honk at me.
How much money would it take for you to have your car decorated like that year-round, except for December?
I wouldn't accept any.
No amount.
Oh, come on.
No.
Come on. I'm over here ready to take $25 an hour to be somebody's armpit blower, and this you can't accept.
This is my worst nightmare. It's terrible.
People
are smiling. I spend a lot of time in my car. Like, a lot of time. I drive to so many games, and it is just terrifying. I'm not looking forward to going to Duke on Saturday.
It'll be fun. You'll make those people happy, too.
Speaking of Duke, we have tickets to give away for Wake Forest hosting Duke. Yeah. That's next week. 336-777-1600 if you want to win those tickets. In 5 minutes, we will give them away. NFL news just keeps pouring in. The Washington Redskins say that Jordan Reed is healthy, and now they've released him. That's official from Field Yates a minute ago. Apparently, this new NFL playoff proposal has been approved by the owners' side of things. It wasn't unanimous. It wasn't unanimous approval by the owners. Now it's up to the NFLPA to sign up for this as well. In the statement that was put out by the NFL just a short while ago, it says the following, quote, following more than 10 months of intensive and thorough negotiations, the NFL players and clubs have jointly developed a comprehensive set of new and revised terms that will transform the future of the game, provide for players past to present and future, both on and off the field, and ensure that the NFL's second century is even better and more exciting for the fans. The membership voted today to accept the negotiated terms and principles elements of a new collective bargaining agreement. The Players Association also would need to vote to approval the same terms for there to be a new agreement. Since the clubs and players need to have a system in place and know the rules that they operate under the next week or by next week, the membership also approved moving forward under the final year of the 2011 CBA if the players decide not to approve the negotiated terms. Out of respect to the process and out of partners and our partners at the NFLPA, we will have no further comment at this time. 336-777-1600 if you want to win the Wake Forest Duke tickets for next week. Answer a trivia question that isn't much of a trivia question at all, but it's fun. 777-1600 if you want to win. We're making you a winner next on The Drive.
He also loves to wear itchy clothes, so he has an excuse to scratch himself. You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
The one subject that's undefeated in sports talk radio, or at least on this show, is agitating the host. So that last little rejoin there, I think, fits that mold. And I think it only works, or maybe it doesn't work best when I don't crack. It only works great when I do. And right now, I'm just bothered. I'm bothered by everybody who's around me. NC State, Duke, we're going to get to in a second. It's snowing outside. It was a late night at PNC Arena. Duke, NC State, we'll get to the game in a second. But Robert and Sawyer, they are responsible for trying to assist me when it comes to grabbing audio, when it comes to helping create topics, land guests, you name it. These are guys that I turn to, and they're in my corner, allegedly. But it seems like they've been brainwashed by people at the top, by people in production who put together rejoins, such as the one you just heard, to try and agitate me because they understand that that is something that's always unbeaten, never lost, for the audience. That's what the audience enjoys more than anything else. So, Robert, I walk into the studio, I walk into the control room, I should say, during that last commercial break. And I thought you'd be working on something like the Best Of podcast that we put out each and every day. You can find that SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. You have a lot of things to do in that studio. I walk in, Sawyer says, I got the funniest thing that you need to hear. Then I hear what it is that they've been working on. And the thing they claim is the funniest thing, and it's this. 5 of 6 of 3 on the game. It's...
Oh my God, just listen. I'm sorry. I know it's your show. It's your show. And I apologize. But just listen to what this noise is.
5 of 6 of 3 on the game. It's I do hours of radio a day. Hours. My throat's not feeling good. It's snowing outside. What's the name of this?
On the game. It's...
What's the name of this disorder that you're talking about? I'm sure that's affecting me.
Seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, seasonal affective disorder. I'm looking outside. It's snowing. You're writing Christmas messages on my car. And, you know, Distractions are everywhere you look, and this is what the people closest to me are busy doing. 5 of 6 of 3 on the game. It's unbelievable. Like, I say whittle instead of little one time, speaking for 20 hours a week on the radio, and man, it becomes a segment, it becomes content, and this is what you guys pick out. And then this right here, just me being lost in a train of thought, trying to go from one place to the other, and now this is content. Like, I'm being sniped at by the people closest to me. 5 of 6 of 3 on the game. It's bleeping Julius Caesars here.
I'm sorry. I halfway heard it, saw your full on heard it, and he was unconsolably.
Well, I don't know why I just said Caesar. I mean, Judas.
Who stabbed? It wasn't Judas that stabbed Caesar.
No, he stabbed Jesus.
Yeah, who stabbed
Caesar? Of Nazareth.
It was, some guy. Just some guy. It was, hang on, let me think about it.
See if you can. 336-777-1600 on Twitter at Sports Hub Tryon. What was the other thing you had dug up?
You doing your old-timey radio voice.
Hey!
This right here.
Hey, caller number 5! Caller 5! How about you win these tickets? Just be caller number 5!
Yeah.
Caller 9! You just call in and you're the winner.
Yeah, that is the hokey radio voice. Just hokey, fake. Like, it's amazing how many people who get paid in broadcasting do not talk like a person. Like, they do that. That's what they do as a profession, when really the entire goal is to try and sound like, people. Be freaking relatable, Not this.
Hey, caller number 5!
That's exactly it. NC State, Duke last night.
I think the obvious way to break this down, the most simple way to explain it, is this. NC State played its best game of the year. Duke played its absolute worst. Now, that isn't to say Duke didn't play hard. They did. NC State played with purpose, though. And there's a difference. The Pack, they understood what was at stake. NCAA tournament appearance, and you saw every loose ball in the first half. NC State was winning it. They were getting to the rim time and time again. NC State, they are now in the tournament field, according to Joe Lenardi. They're the last team in, and it's because of the effort that they dispensed. Duke didn't show any of that. Here are three stats that speak to how badly Duke played in the game. Number one, they missed 12 free throws. At one point, they were 2 of 11 from the line. This is probably the craziest stat from the game. In the first half, Duke had only one assist. One assist on 13 buckets in the first half. And that one assist belonged to a guy who played 7 minutes. Forward Javon Delorier. If Javon Delorier has your only assist and a half, things aren't going well. And then it was their worst loss by margin to an unranked team under Mike Krzyzewski. I mean, Krzyzewski's been there for 40 years. And they lost by 22 points. That's 1 point more than the loss they had to Tennessee in 1980 and 2 points more than the loss they had to North Carolina in 1990. That's 30 and 40 years ago. So Duke played poorly. NC State, meanwhile, had three players that played their best games of their careers. Not just of the season, of their careers. Devin Daniels, 25 points in 36 minutes. DJ Funderburk. Manny Bates fouls out with 11 minutes left to go. Kevin Keats even conceded after the game. Yeah, I threw that guy out there. I knew he was going to have problems with Vernon Carey. And I just told him, hey, do the best you can. If you foul out, we got DJ. And DJ's going to take it from there. And he did. 25 points. For Daniels, and Funderburk had 21-9, 3 steals. Markel Johnson, as great as he's been at points, this was his best game. 28 points, it's a career high. 5 of 6 from 3-point range. For the third time, he hit a half-court shot at the buzzer. Just a tremendous game. So if I'm breaking it down as simple as I can, NC State played the best game it's played all year, and Duke played its worst. 336-777-1600 is the phone number. Who do we got here? Marty and Archdale? What does he want in on? Marty, go right ahead. Marty, go ahead.
Was I caller five?
What was that?
Was I caller five? I don't know what tickets it was.
Oh my God. Get him out of here. Thank you, Marty. I'm telling you, everybody around me has knives, and they're just pointing them straight at me. Hey, caller number five. Can we play sound that's actually productive?
Please.
Here's what Kevin Keats had to say about playing with purpose, playing knowing that this game had NCAA tournament significance, but deciding what to communicate to his guys so that they could handle it.
I don't really talk about that with those guys. We just talk about the next game because I'm not sure that they can handle that. I think if I put pressure on them and say we have to win this game for your NCAA hopes, I'm not sure we respond the same way tonight as we did.
And they responded tremendously, man. They were awesome in this game. Duke wasn't, to put it as succinctly as possible. And the Blue Devils have Virginia Tech coming into Cameron Indoor Stadium Saturday, while the Wolfpack, which is now on the right side of the bubble at the moment, they have Florida State coming in. And that's going to be a massive game. 4 o'clock tip inside PNC Arena. As for Duke, it's an 8 o'clock tip in that game against the Virginia Tech Hokies. All right. In this state, when it comes to handshakes, when it comes to Instagram posts, when it comes to cryptic press releases that are put out only for PSL owners to see by David Tepper, we like to read into things, maybe overanalyze a bit. We're going to do some conspiracy overanalyzing for all of those things next on The Drive.
Stand by as we continue our dig for the truth and the toy at the bottom of the cereal box.
Oh, got it.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
Something I used to be really bad about is overanalyzing things. Like, I was the guy who would receive a text message, like when I was dating in college. I get a text message from somebody and I'd be like, what does that mean? Why didn't they use an exclamation point? Where are the emojis at? What's this all about? And looking back in hindsight, I realized that is just maddening to do. And we could do this in sports as well. Like, I'm seeing a lot of this today on social media with Cam Newton's Instagram post last night, David Tepper putting out an email that was sent, a letter, I should say, that was sent to PSL owners saying that in order to get to where they have to go, there's going to be some tearing down of the roster. People are reading into that the Panthers are trying to move off of Cam Newton. Cam is like quoting the Joker, but I don't know which Joker. Heck, it might even be Steve Miller. I don't know for sure. So that's pretty cryptic. Then you have ACC basketball fans seeing Coach K and Kevin Keats shake hands very quickly last night and think there might be some beef there because of how Coach K blew right by Keats as he was trying to tell him something. In fact, Andre Dawkins, former Blue Devil, said that clearly K was not cool with what happened there. So let's explore all of that by just steering into the skid. And if you're somebody who's driving in the snow right now, that's a bit of pro advice, that if you start skidding, steer into the skid. Don't try to steer out of it. There you go. And the way we're doing that on the radio is by overanalyzing a little bit here. A couple of these headlines. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to start with the Cam Newton Instagram post. If you haven't seen it, it's Cam shirtless. Man, if I was looking that way, I'd probably be posting a bunch of IG posts shirtless as well. So I'm not dogging that part. But the caption is in that weird font, sometimes you just have to play the role of the fool to fool the fool who thinks they are fooling you, the Joker. Hashtag, the only way is through. Hashtag, shine through the shade. Hashtag, not for likes, just for life. If you're posting a picture of you shirtless, odds are you're looking for the likes. I don't care if you're Cam Newton or Cameron Johnson or whoever. I just don't care who you are. Yes, Sawyer.
I did. Whoa.
Oh, wow. You're just going to go to the microphone.
He's going to get you. Wow. Sneezing. Wow. The first thing you do get on the microphone is cough. No. Come on.
Oh, no.
Wait, if you guys are going to crucify me when I slip up 3 hours of broadcasting, like just me in a moment of thought, you go into the microphone for 2 seconds, not even, and you start coughing into it, yeah, I'm going to criticize you right back.
So three on the game.
What did you have, Sawyer? No way. I don't think Cam Newton's posting shirtless for the likes. You think?
Like,
I don't think that. I just don't think that's him.
All right. Here's my takeaway from this. Cam Newton just now watched The Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, and he drew inspiration from it.
All right. I could get down with that, but I also feel like Cam Newton posted that for the likes because he's trying to fool the fool, which is the NFL, into thinking that he's not good anymore to further his new career as a model.
It's pretty good. Here's a thought. Fool actually is an acronym.
Ooh.
That stands for Fight Off Ogling Lions. Sorry, Matt Patricia.
Ooh.
Sawyer, what do you think?
That's a great question. I'm trying to think of one that is better than you
You're
guys.
Unprepared for the segment. Let's move on completely from Sawyer. He's not ready for it. That's great. Coach K, the Kevin Keats handshake. A lot of people reacting to this. Even though I got the answer to the question from Coach K himself. People were forgetting about this because they don't pay attention to what actually happens when these coach speaks. You know, they're just going to overanalyze and not listen to the pressers. I asked Coach K what happened there, what was Keats pointing at, and this is what K said.
He was just saying that they were going to storm the court, just to be careful. No, they were great. They were all great. I wish we had come to the dance a little bit better.
Ah, but that's not fun, Coach K. How about this? Kevin Keats said to Coach K, hey, over there, that's where the exit is. You should take it.
All right. I think I really broke it, though. And this is kind of scary.
You did some lip reading?
I think I really broke it. See, you thought you talked to Coach K, but you didn't.
I didn't?
You talked to Coach K's clone. Right now, Coach K, his real body, is getting ready to be the new commissioner of the NCAA for basketball.
Wow.
And this is a clone, and that's why he's acting so non-human-like. Because Kevin Keats shook the hand of clone Coach K.
Sawyer isn't ready for this one either. He just gave me the nah, don't go to me sign.
Because Sawyer's a clone too.
He spends all this time making fun of me and just unprepared for the radio show fundamentally. Talking about wanting to play in the snow constantly instead of preparing something that's good here. How about this one for Coach K? Hey, you heard about that one-time transfer? You can one-time transfer out of my arena.
Ooh.
Moving it on. The David Tepper letter. If you didn't see this, it was sent to PSL owners. The highlight of this letter, if you can even call it that, it says, I am laser focused on building a championship organization on and off the field. It takes time to build things up the right way. And sometimes you have to do a little tearing down before moving forward, end quote. That's cool and all, David Tepper. But this is what I took away from it. PSL owner, while we have this cruddy stadium, you're also going to have a cruddy team. Sorry.
All right. That's what you took from it. This is what I took from it.
This feels like we're sitting around the campfire. like telling scary stories. Like the X-Files music, it is the scariest theme music. It gives me, like for TV shows, it gives me the willies every time I hear it. Like I get goosebumps. It's scary.
Speaking of Goosebumps, Goosebumps actually has a scary TV
it
theme too.
Does.
That stuff,
really good.
No book. Joke.
It was 90s night at the NC State game.
Oh, yeah.
And they had some stuff for Goosebumps on bum, the. Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they also had a lot of stuff with Rugrats. It was really strange because all the students that were there were on the scoreboard doing things. And I started thinking about it. If you are a student in college today,
don't think about
you're
it.
You're probably born in 1999, 2000, 2000, or 2001.
We're old as hell.
Right. Right. So it doesn't make sense for them to do 90s things. Like they're talking about Rocket Power and Rugrats. Like,
they don't know the first thing about Tommy Pickles. Don't even come here, you kids. Like, you don't even know who Dill is. All right, here's. Okay, with all those words, I listen for buzzwords when people talk. And
right,
David Tepper,
too.
I heard a few buzzwords. Laser, build, tear down. David Tepper is a cyborg. And he is going to rebuild this team in his image with other cyborgs.
Or it might just be all these words to say to Cam, listen, buddy. You're not going to want to be here anymore.
Actually, if you take the first letter mm-hmm. of every word he said in that press cut,
yeah,
it says, get the hell out of here, Cam.
That's crazy.
It is.
On Twitter,
couldn't believe it.
Sports Up Dry at 336-777-1600 if you want to chime in on our conspiracy theories here. Sawyer, are you prepared for this one as he drinks out of his cup to make sure he doesn't cough into the microphone with the first noise he makes?
Actually, one popped out to me, this one that I kind of took away from this entire message. So Tepper talks about, you know, tearing down and building stuff off the field. And then he talks about how Matt Rhule is working pretty hard and he's a master developer and builder. I think Matt Rhule's been contracted to build the next indoor Panthers and MLS Charlotte facility.
Wow. Construction job on the side for Matt Rhule.
He does look like a construction worker.
He does.
Do you think he would catcall?
He would look great in the hat.
What would Matt Rhule's catcalls to free agents sound like?
Hey, come here and trust the process.
Hey, I got a bib for you. Come here. It gets a little messy.
I don't know if it's specifically a bib. I think it's, what, a smock?
Hey, I got a smock for you.
What are you, a smock? Then there's people talking about the court storm. How are we still doing this? I don't know. But people like to read into the court storms too. You know, they say that students shouldn't storm the court if it's a win that they're supposed to have. People are always being critical of these things. NC State, they're at the point now, they've beaten Duke 5 of the last 7 times they've been inside PNC Arena. The reason they stormed the court is not because they didn't think they could beat Duke. They stormed the court because they're superstitious. They think that if they don't storm the court, the next time they play, they're not going to beat them. All right, we can move on from this now.
Are you sure? I got one more.
Do you? On what?
I heard that the state fans storm the court just to get to the exits quicker. Okay, we got to cut that music.
All right, yeah. It's scaring me.
Dead.
It is. Let's hear from Coach K last night. He had a really strange way of putting what happened into terms. Like, how does Duke not show up to play? This is just a strange way to put it, we can acknowledge.
Yeah, this isn't an Xbox game. This is a human being game. That Xbox thing, it doesn't have human nature in it and all that. That's why a lot of people play it. This game is about human nature and human beings. And sometimes when you eat too much, you're not as hungry. When you need something, you're really hungry. And when those two meet, a lot of times the team that needs it the most kicks the other team's butt. And that's what happened tonight. I don't know. We'll try to. I'll play Xbox later.
What game do you think you could take Coach K in? Sawyer, you stream or you have a Twitch account and you make some money on the side playing video games and people watching you do so. So what game would you volunteer playing Coach K in?
I wouldn't mind playing him in the last NCAA March Madness that came out. Probably like what, 2014 or?
Yeah. I actually think isn't there an old 90s college basketball game named after Coach K? Like, I think it's like Coach K's College Basketball or something. Like, I think Jeff Capel was on Duke at the time. Like, what's the name of the game?
It's just called Coach K College Basketball.
Yeah, Coach K College Basketball.
Do you think he could, you know the
Coach
game?
Coach K is good on the sticks. He'd take you out in Coach K College Basketball.
You know what I'd really like to see them square off? I bet Coach K would beat you so bad in solitaire. It would not even be a competition, Sawyer. He would be finished, and those cards would be cascading off of that screen while you were still working on your threes, buddy.
Just a really strange thing to say. Also, I contest that people who eat a lot aren't hungry. Nah, I think people who eat a lot are more hungry than you are. That's what I would say. Like, there's a guy at Virginia Tech last night in triple overtime who has... like the student who has a full 26 thing of wings and he's just pounding them, right? That guy's hungry and he's eating a lot. So I push against that. We have more from Coach K. Somebody tell me how this is different than Roy Williams saying that his team is not so gifted.
We're not that good. You know, we're good and we've accomplished very good. And so... We don't have the consistency of really good with every player.
Robert wasn't ready for the beginning of that.
Clone K is going crazy, man. Playing Xbox, talking about we ain't good.
Just the first part of this. Just hammering you with it.
We're not that good.
They've lost 4 games this year. 4 games, Coach K, and you arrive at this conclusion? This is the conclusion you arrive at, Coach K.
We're not that good.
Yeah. So people won't get mad about that, but they'll get mad at North Carolina and Roy Williams for saying that his team is the least gifted team he's had. Now, that's different than saying his team's not that good. They're not that consistent. I think what Coach K is really trying to say there is that his team's overachieved. Like, they haven't been consistent, and they achieved great things. That's what he said. And they're not that good. Not good enough to just walk in and expect the win, which is similar to the message Roy Williams was trying to communicate too. Hey, this is the least gifted team I have. There's no excuse for you to go in here and expect to win games just on the merits of you playing at North Carolina and having this much talent. So that's an interesting thing from Kay. And in terms of just how good they are, I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't say you love your team. This is something that K does quite a bit. He says, I love my team. And then he'll say,
we're not that good.
Doesn't seem to fit together well. Like, if you have one of those puzzle pieces, you ever do one of those massive puzzles, these pieces just don't fit, I don't think. On Twitter, at SportsUpTriad, 336-777-1600 is the phone number. We're going to be sharing with Darren Vaught tomorrow. However, and wherever you're listening, we certainly appreciate that. Listen to the best of podcasts on SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. You can find all of those things. Maybe one more conspiracy theory on the way out.
Please.
What if this isn't actually a radio show?
Oh, no.
But just a podcast that finds itself on the air. I want to jump outside and start a snowball fight. That's what I want to do. But we're not done yet today. We're not. Robert, what do you got in Ticket to the House?
As far as marketing is concerned, real isn't always better.
Really? We take it to the house next on the drive.